Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
That's fucking minging, though.
Hello and welcome to the Rota Report podcast in association with Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. I'm Philip West, hosting this podcast on Saturday afternoon. I'm joined by Paddy Hollis. How are we doing, Paddy?
Well, I was better before kick-off, but keeping spirits high.
And I'm also joined by Mark Dugdale and his son Dean. How are we doing, Mark?
Yeah, pretty shit, but I've got a beer in my hand and I'm not driving home until tomorrow, so at least there's some grace.
I was going to say small mercies. So Sunderland lost, unfortunately, today to Charlton. It was a contentious winner from Jaden Stockley. The game itself was pretty stop-start. It was fragmented. I didn't think we played particularly brilliantly. What were your overall impressions of our performance, Paddy?
Well, I think it was one of those classic games where, like, we never got going. I think, you know, I liked the lineup. I was quite surprised there wasn't maybe more changes or if any changes at all from the winner crew. I just thought there was glimpses of the kind of football we've been playing this season, but I think today was one of those days where I think Charlton came to stop us playing football and it worked and we didn't help ourselves at the same time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What do you think, Mark? Just not our day today? Just weren't quite at it?
I would agree, yeah. We didn't really turn up, which is a shame at home in front of 32,000 people who've obviously been watching them play really well away from home. We weren't at it. They out-closed us down. They out-attituded us. They out-kind of shit-housed us in the midfield. And I think their tactics were just better than ours. Their team wasn't better than ours. But they out kind of thought us as well, you know. The way that they bossed 09 in the midfield and Dan Neil was anonymous. You know, you've got to be quite good to make Dan Neil anonymous. So whatever their temporary coach did, he did a good job and we didn't really turn up with the races, unfortunately for me.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Actually, we're going to move on to the midfield now because obviously there's been a lot of talk about how good Dan Neil's been and rightly so. But moving to you, Dean, do you just think that the midfield just wasn't quite at it today? It just didn't quite work out for us in that area?
I just think their bust midfield kind of stopped us from pressing and stopped us from playing footy in the midfield, you know. We've had players, Dan Neil absent, you know, Luke not as maybe there as he should be. We've got players on the wing like McGeady not even beating a man kind of thing further up the pitch. So it's just kind of, they knew how to deal with midfield and they just cut us out completely.
Yeah, I think it was from an attacking point of view, I think, and I'm going to ask the lads what they think about this, it was very fragmented and stop-started here. Ross Stewart did a really good job on his own up front. He was ploughing a very lonely furrow out there at times, but moving on to the other attackers, Paddy, what did you make of the likes of Aidan McGeady and Owen O'Brien and Alex Pritchard? Not quite on it today.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the best way to sum it up, really. I think I liked O'Brien. He had glimpses, you know. He's always one where, you know, he always puts a shift in. I've never been one to criticise him of that because I always think he's worked hard when he's played for Sunderland. But I think probably the main overall, I'm not too concerned. But I think if you are going to pick a concern out of that, it's Aidan McGeady. And I think since dropping into this league, we've kind of, like, you know, we've had this idea of, you know, we'll be okay if McGeady's on the pitch. Now I think that today is just, I don't know what it was, but it's just, I've never seen him look so out of a game for us. He's never looked like more of a passenger on the pitch or a spectator than I think he did today. And I think, yeah, that is just, I think overall, I mean, there wasn't really, individually, there wasn't really any major concerns, but I think the biggest one to pick out with that would definitely be McGeady and how he's just, I don't know what it was, he just didn't have his, know, you, when McGeady usually gets the ball, like, you can see how he's just going to, like, he's got that extra yard and he's just going to go and beat his man and whip the ball in. But too often he'd just did too many touches, or he'd be looking back straight away, and that's not the Aidan McGeady what we're used to seeing, and it's weird really, because we aren't seeing it.
Yeah, I think on the subject of Aidan McGeady, I've been saying for quite a while now that we should maybe think about using him as an impact substitute, maybe keeping him fresh for the last 25 minutes, bring him on, because then he can cause more damage. Do you think that's something that we might have to do, Matt, in future to get the best out of him?
Based on today, and given we've got the likes of Djaku, if I pronounce that right, Gooch coming back from injury, he'd be lucky to get on my bench, I have to say. We were down the right hand side for the second half. There was at least three or four occasions where he received the ball and he was taken on a centre half out wide and he didn't even take him on. I think he's just, maybe it's because he played in the week as well and he hasn't got the legs anymore because he's 35 or whatever it is, but I think we just need to think about the plan without him and start making it work now. He's not the only one, to be fair. You know, he was by no means the only player who didn't really apply himself as well as we can this afternoon. But he's been a great servant to the club, but he's just wasn't there. We've got to start thinking about the future. Djaku's now getting more fit. Pritchard, I thought, had a really solid game and can play wide, and he's reasonably quick. We've got options. We've got to start thinking about rotating them in.
Yeah, I think that today's result in taking an isolation isn't necessarily cause for panic stations, although the emotions will be running high after that. But for me, I just think it was a reminder that, you know, there's no games in this league where a result's an absolute given. Just turning to you, Dean, do you think that was proof that, again, you've got to be on it every single game if you want to win in this league?
Yeah, I think you've got to have different kind of styles of play to suit different teams. And I feel, obviously, some games you've got to play proper football, but some games you have teams like Charlton come at you, they'll just shut it down completely. So you've got to really have a backup plan in that situation. And some players just didn't know what they were doing. You know, McGeady had no motivation or energy in that. You know, you have some players working hard still, but it's just, you need to switch it up every now and again, you know, surprise the opposition in a way.
So we're now out with league action until next weekend, but we've got the cup game against QPR coming up. Turning to that game, Paddy, would you make changes for that? To me, it feels like a game where you rotate quite significantly, maybe bring some of the youngsters in, rest your first teamers for the next league game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of these games where, I mean, obviously looking ahead, to like, you know, the game's just starting to come thick and fast now. But before kick-off today, that cup game to me was, it was a chance to, like, you know, blood some of the younger players. And after today's results, I think I'll probably argue for that even more so. I just think at this point, you know what I mean, it's great to go on a cup run, you know, and we've done it the hard way, you know, we've won like sort of 2-3 away ties now, but the way things are going, I just think it shouldn't really be too much of a concern. Obviously, you don't want to go down there and get embarrassed by like a high league opposition, but the thing is, we've got the squad to rotate, and if we start with 5-6 academy products down at QPR, I'm not going to complain whatsoever.
Yeah, I think squad depth now is going to be absolutely crucial. As Paddy's just rightly said there, we can afford to rotate. Just looking at that cup game, Matt, would you say that for confidence is a game that we should be looking to win, or is it a game we should be looking as a more of an exercise in squad rotation? What do you think about that one?
It has to be an experiment for the rest of the season for me now. Today wasn't a tragedy, don't get me wrong. You know, we lost by a real ugly, scrappy goal that was kind of given and then not. We hit the crossbar, we had a penalty decline that we really deserved because I saw it and it was a clear handball in their box. You know, so it wasn't the worst performance in the world. It certainly wasn't Fratton Park. But we've got to think about how we adapt for different situations. And if players are starting to not be on it and not be able to play two games in a row in a week and not necessarily carry on the momentum that we've unfortunately lost a little bit now, then we've got to think about using the cup games as a reset and a bit of a strategy session. You know, I mean, we have to remember we've still got 6 points from the last two games, both away from home. We're still doing 2 points per game. Yes, we've lost our home kind of unbeaten record kind of thing, but it's not the end of the world. But we've got to use these cup games now to define how we're going to react and then move on from there, definitely.
Yeah, I think Matt makes a really good point there, is that, you know, we've used the Papa John's trophy as an example this season as a chance to kind of, we bounce back from the defeat against Portsmouth. with two good wins in the Papa John's. Just turn to the next league game, Dean. Do you think we've got the resilience to bounce back from that? It's going to be another tricky game, but are you confident that this can be just a blip for us?
Yeah, I think we've got plenty of resilience and confidence to get back at it. I think, obviously, taking this today, it can kind of give us more stuff to learn from. Similar to the Portsmouth game, for example, you know, we lost that game, quite convincingly lost, and we learned from that and realised that we need to figure out other ways to play. So I feel like next match we can adapt, you know, the more difficult performance we have, the more we learn from it. You know, as bad as that sounds that we're getting bad performances, it's a learning curve at the end of the day, and it will actually shape us better for the future. You know, it will actually shape us better to win matches and hopefully go up.
Yeah, I think Dean makes a really good point there, is that, you know, we're still kind of getting into the, you know, it's still quite early in the season. We're still kind of learning who's going to be the best teams this season. And every opponent's different. And I think adaptability, you know, being able to cope with opponents who do change their game plan is going to be crucial. Just on a final point before we wrap today's podcast up, just want to ask the lads what they think about our defensive performance today. Obviously, a lot made about Callum Doyle this season, comfortable on the ball, positionally solid. I think he looked very good again, and I think defensively, generally, we look pretty solid today. What do you think about that, Paddy?
Yeah, it's annoying because it's one of these games where we've come out and we've lost, but, I mean, all of our back four and Hoffman, I just think the player we've got in Doyle is one of these players where, you know, he's going to be playing at a very high level relatively soon, because he's a cut above playing at this level. But I think, I mean, you know, obviously Winchester, he continues to play out of position at right back, but he doesn't look out of place. And it's, you know, we've got a good commanding keeper, and we've got a back four who are mobile and solid at the same time. I mean, you know, I've been a big fan of Sirkin since we signed him. I don't think there's been one performance where I thought, oh, you know, he's had a bad game. He looks like a very good player. And yeah, it's one of these where it's a strange kind of game, because usually when you lose a match, one of the first things you think about is your defensive display. But they've scored with a goal which I don't exactly know how it stood. Originally, I thought the ref disallowed it, and then about 10 seconds later, he's given it. So I don't know what's happened there. But if you take that out of the game, we look pretty solid. I mean, Hoffman hasn't had a great day to do, but he came for cross as well. He was playing the sweeper role quite well. You know, he was always switched on when a ball went over the top of our centre halves. So yeah, I think you can't really have any complaints, really. You know, it's one of these games where, you know, our defensive line have continued to play well. It's just unfortunately the attackers haven't been able to sort of finish the job at the other end.
Would you agree with that, Mark? Reasonably settled defence now. Promising signs moving forward.
Yeah, there was no bloopers, there was no nightmares. We dealt with a lot of corners, you know, they pressed us quite well. Hoffman's another level from Burge and the rest of the goalkeeping squad for me. It's the first time I've seen him live, and he's not the tallest goalkeeper in the world, but he's certainly, you know, very, very capable. I don't think the defence had a lot to do. The one thing that they didn't do, which they often do in other situations when we're playing a bit more confidently, is, you know, you see a lot more of Sirkin and Winch getting up down the wings and supporting the midfield and the attack. And when they did today, they just didn't get the ball in, or they lost the ball in daft positions. So it's just another bad day at the office, to be honest with you. But I don't see any reasons to change the defence or the keeper. But we need to definitely address that issue in midfield. And the width, the attacking width today was just not there, you know. I don't know why. Maybe it was a tactical error. The coach might take it on the chin. But defensively, we were pretty decent, and we were unlucky to have that goal allowed.
Right, well, some very interesting views here tonight. I want to thank Paddy, Dean and Mark for joining us for tonight's podcast. Stay tuned to RokerReport.com over the next few days. We'll have plenty of post-match fallout from this one, and we'll be building up to the QPR game as well. So thank you for listening, and have a good night. We have no choice.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.